The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
First-time guest on the show, but I have been anxiously awaiting to get him on. Jason Timp, host of Hoops Tonight over there at Volume Sports. Follow him on Twitter at @_JasonLT. Jason, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
It's good to be here. We played a little phone tag for a little while, but I'm glad we finally made this happen.
I'm glad we made it happen, too. And it was funny because we were talking about Giannis and the Bucks the other day. And Giannis, you know, not getting the love that maybe he deserves in the MVP race and so forth. And one of our listeners tweeted at me, one of your podcasts, going, "Hey, it's not all bad. This dude's been giving them a lot of love." And it was last week. I said, "Hey, he's on next Thursday at 2:40. Good timing. We're going to have him on ourselves." So you've been relatively positive on Giannis and the Bucks to this point. So let's start off first talking about Giannis, the year he's having, and kind of where he fits into your MVP race at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. The season turned around, I think, on three main factors, and the main factor is Giannis. When you have a superstar that's playing at this level, what it ends up doing is it accomplishes so much, especially with Giannis on both ends of the floor, that it just makes everyone else's job easier, right? Like, the better your star plays on offense, both as a scoring threat and as a playmaking threat, the more advantages it creates for the other players. Not just advantages, but bigger advantages. And like, from the lowest levels of basketball to the highest levels of basketball, the farther the defender is away and how the further he has to close out at you, the easier it is for you to score as an offensive player. And then on the defensive end, if you've got a rangy forward that's just destroying everything when he's within 10 feet of the ball, it just makes for easier roles for everybody. And I think there's several key factors. I mean, a lot of it is stuff that you guys are already aware of, like him cutting down on his three-point shooting but becoming more reliable as a mid-range jump shooter. I really liked his left shoulder hooks this year. It's a shot that I've been begging him to lean on more over the course of the years, because I think for guys that are big and strong and they don't have great touch, that little 5 to 7 foot, like, just turn over your shoulder and shoot that little half hook, I think that's just such a reliable and dependable shot in late game situations. And he's been going to that a lot this year. And then his playmaking, you know, it's always been, I think, a little underrated, but it's gone up a big level this year. And so he's just become this extremely versatile offensive player while also getting back to a level defensively that him and Brooke have not been at since, you know, 2021.
Before the season started, obviously there were people doubting the Bucks. I saw people projecting him as a 6 seed, as a 7 seed, being in the play-in tournament. And I was just like, there's just no way. Then they get off to a slow start. Then that really amplified. Then that really started getting louder. People upset at Doc and so forth. And my response was pretty much the same the whole time. Go back and look at Doc Rivers' history as a head coach. His teams don't suck in the regular season. I think I had to go all the way back to like 2012 to find the last time he had a team that was sub 500 at this point. Most of the time, his teams are competing in that top four aspect of the playoffs and competing for home court advantage. Then the playoffs come, then okay, then there's some issues. But for the regular season, you just knew it was going to turn around. And the other part of this thing kind of turning around is guys are kind of playing like how they're supposed to play now after that horrid start. Damian Lillard looks far more like Damian Lillard this year than he did last year.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, like, Dame, I needed a full summer to just kind of get disconnected from all the personal stuff that he was dealing with last year. And then also continuity is a real thing. Like, I think there's this thing that happens every time you add a super talented player where it happens to every team, but you bring in a guy like Dame, and then it breeds almost like a natural form of relaxation, because as a team, you go like, oh, we're more talented now. Like, this should be easier. But the truth of the matter is basketball at the highest level is never easy. Like, it's always hard. There's never a championship team that isn't hard-nosed and physical, that defends and plays hard. Like, that's just like a negotiable. And so there's always like a phase when you add in talent where you have to kind of come to the realization that you still have to compete and be that hard-nosed, physical, hard-playing team. And in a weird way, I thought the bad start was the perfect way to kind of trigger that response, because it triggered a response in Giannis and Brooke, who I think both have been playing at the best defensive level they've been at in a very, very long time. But then also Doc Rivers, to your point, has found an orientation of the team that really works. He's got a rotation that works, but he's not married to it. He's willing to make changes when needed, kind of like him going to Bobby Portis in the clutch when the time kind of calls for it. The orientation of A.J. Green and Andre Jackson as their two primary point of attack defenders, which has kind of slotted everybody into better defensive roles. And then, I don't know about you, but I thought Dame's defensive effort in that game to win the in-season tournament against Oklahoma City was one of the best defensive games I've ever seen him play.
Agreed.
And that's the thing, is you end up getting this like level of buy-in now that's down the roster because they're winning. And it's crazy because it's like, it's so interesting how basketball momentum works like that, because once you get people to believe in what they're doing and to see an obvious payback, which is like, okay, I'm doing this thing that I didn't used to do, but now that I'm doing it, we're winning. It almost like causes even more momentum in that direction and even more buy-in. And honestly, they've been playing some really special basketball since that turnaround. In a weird way, embarrassment can be a great motivator, and I think that beginning of the season kicked them into gear.
Talking with Jason Tim, host of Hoops Tonight, Volume Sports. Follow him on Twitter at @_JasonLT. Bobby Portis is a lightning rod type guy around here. From the aspect of, there's a large portion of people, at least on social media, that would like to see Bobby Portis traded because of his lack of defense, his inconsistencies, and so forth, and replaced with somebody else. I argue that you need Bobby Portis's offense. I understand defensively he's not the greatest. I get that. But they still need those double figures. You still need him to get those 8 or so rebounds on a night-in, night-out basis when you get to the postseason. How do you view Bobby Portis, and would you consider moving him, and for what?
My whole take on Bobby Portis centers around the reality of his spot in the rotation. Like, Bobby Portis is kind of like D'Angelo Russell is to the Lakers, in the sense that, like, even though they're very different players, in the sense that, like, you need what they do, you just don't want to depend on them, right? I don't think the Bucks depend on Bobby, so therefore I think hyper-focusing on his flaws doesn't make a ton of sense. So for instance, big game tomorrow, who are the Bucks going down with? It's going to be Dame and Giannis, Chris and Brooke, one of A.J. Green or Andre Jackson or Gary Trent, depending on which guy makes the most sense in that matchup or who's playing the best on that given night,
yep.
Right? And yeah, if the matchup makes a ton of sense, like we saw, I think it was the Chicago game. I can't remember. The one where he hit the 3 straight 3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Late that won it. I can't remember exactly which game that was. But, like, we're okay, we need a good above-the-break shooter in this situation. We're not getting hurt by him defensively right now. It was the Nets game. That's right. Because and that was when the Nets were picking on him and he was getting stops. The point is like, you can be picky with that. You don't need to play Bobby. If you needed to play Bobby, like, if he was one of your core five players, that's a problem. You need to find a way to turn him into a guy with maybe a lower ceiling but with a higher floor. Because Bobby does have issues. He is a guy that can get really lost in off-ball defense, which can be a problem. There are downsides that come with Bobby. But I do think that when we go to your sixth, seventh best player on your roster, I think sometimes we're a little too picky, and we got to understand that those guys are sixth, seventh best players in a rotation for a reason. It's because they are flawed, and that is what kind of comes with that territory. And you just have to feel it out. And for every moment that Bobby's been really bad, he's also been really good, and that's kind of the experience when you get that deep into your bench.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, too. You know, the other part about this, for me, is what to do with Chris Middleton, because he's obviously coming back from his bilateral ankle surgeries or whatever, and now he's had a chance to get back into the starting lineup a little bit here as Giannis has missed games, Lillard has missed games. Now Giannis apparently is sick as of this morning, so not sure if he's going to play in this game coming up against the Brooklyn Nets later today. But from Middleton's perspective, do you try to sell him into being in a Ginobili role now for the rest of the season where he's coming off the bench, you keep Andre Jackson Jr. in that starting lineup with Giannis and Lillard and Brooke Lopez, maybe leave Torian Prince, and then coming off of the bench, you have Bobby Portis, you have Middleton, you have AJ Green, you have Gary Trent Jr., to where you legitimately have like three or four guys that can score on a given night, and maybe you go from not having much of a bench at all, including that championship year, to now all of a sudden having a pretty decent bench when Giannis and Lillard go out.
So I think you can accomplish that same effect with staggering. So, like, I'm not a big believer in, like, benching someone just for the sake of benching them. So, for instance, like, if I have a flawed player, like a player who's a really good offensive player, but maybe he needs to be on more, not great off ball, and has some limitations offense or defensively, then, yeah, I might be like, you know what, I want to bring this guy up to the bench because he can come in and be aggressive, not step on everybody's toes, and maybe the starting unit's better without him, right? Like, that's the way you look at it. But when you're dealing with a guy like Chris, who's legitimately good, like, Chris is better than Torian at everything. So, like, starting Torian over Chris doesn't make much sense to me, because all you're doing is stacking a lesser-talented lineup against the other team's best lineup. That doesn't mean you can't also use Chris to lead bench groups by staggering, meaning just coordinating your subs in a way that he ends up leading your bench groups, right? So I think there are ways to work around that. Overall, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I think Chris's influx of ball handling has been huge for this team.
Yep.
It's crazy how much more frequently Giannis is getting quality touches on roll man possessions, meaning like screening and rolling to the rim, because there's additional ball handling there. Chris, his box score numbers haven't been anything to, like, you know, freak out and be super excited about, but I actually think he's been really good since he's come back, because he's just such a good all-around smart basketball player. So, like, I agree with you in the sense that I'd want to use him to lead bench groups. That said, I think you keep him with the starters in the long run, because that is what allows you to field your best units against the other team's best units.
It's funny you bring that up about Middleton. So back in preseason when we were all waiting for Middleton to finally play, which never ended up happening, but Doc Rivers was talking about the offense not being installed right away late in training camp, and he's like, a large part of this offense has to do with Chris Middleton being a large part of what we want to do. We want him on the floor with us, so essentially we don't have to install it twice once he comes back. And they ended up having to do that because they had to run quite a few games without Middleton, and now you're going to see probably more of that offense that they had envisioned running this offseason under Doc Rivers now finally starting to happen. And like you said, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, but like, I don't want to quote him because it'll be bad, but like, there has been a substantial increase in Giannis's scoring off the ball in role man situations since Chris came back. It's actually been crazy because that same staggering takes place with Dame and Giannis, right?
Right.
Like, if Dame and Giannis are together and there's no Chris, but you want to make sure you have one of them on the floor at all times and they're both playing, you know, roughly 35 minutes, that means you're going to have 13 minutes a game where there's just Dame on the floor, or 13 minutes a game where there's just Giannis on the floor, which cuts into those 35 minutes. So there's not as much time with a ball handler on the floor with Giannis. Now, Giannis is playing with a ball handler almost all the time, good ball handler almost all the time. And that, again, Giannis has been so good on ball this year. I want to be clear, like, it's not like he needs someone to set him up, but like, there is an advantage to being able to do both. It's like the Jokic thing with Jamal Murray. What makes Jokic so efficient and effective offensively is, yeah, he can dominate from the post, but through the two-man game with Russ and Jamal, he gets so many quality touches in the pocket where he can make that little floater or do a quick, you know, kind of post-up ISO with an advantage going downhill in a ball screen. And so that's the thing, is it's all about, like, the more easy offense you get for Giannis, the less he has to rely on difficult offense. And that just kind of ups his efficiency and makes things easier for him over the course of the game.
And Jason's latest power rankings a couple of days ago, he had the Bucks fifth. Now, Luka got hurt for the Mavericks, and he's going to miss some time. So maybe the Bucks are able to move up. Are you buying what you're seeing in the Cavaliers long term?
So the thing with the Cavs is they play the second easiest schedule in the league. But they're about to go on a road trip. I think it actually starts this weekend. I can't remember exactly, but they play like Denver, OKC, the Lakers, and the Rockets, I think, all on the road in like 7 days or 8 days. That's the one that I want to see with them, because like, I'm not here trying to say the Cavs aren't a good team. I think they're a very good team, but they have definitely faced a lot of favorable circumstances, a lot of teams down bodies. It's like, okay, you beat the Bucks, but Dame doesn't play. You beat the Celtics, but they're down a couple of guys. Like, there's definitely been some fortunate stuff with the schedule. That said, the Cavs are a really good team, but a lot of what they do is situated around coaching and execution. They haven't had their talent tested much to this point. Their talent will get tested in the next couple of weeks, and we will learn whether or not they're at that level or not.
Oh, yeah, their coach, Kenny Atkinson, correct? That's the coach? Yeah.
Yes.
Kenny Atkinson, who could have been the Bucks head coach, but they decided not to do that and then had to fire the dude, Adrian Griffin, halfway through the year. Atkinson was one of the final three. It was him, Nick Nurse, and Adrian Griffin, and Giannis, according to stories and reports, is the one that picked Adrian Griffin over the other two, and legitimately the other two would have been far better choices, but I'm going to move on from that because I just get upset. Jason Tipp, host of Hoops Tonight, Volume Sports. Follow him on Twitter at _JasonLT. Hey, man, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
This was great. I had a great time. I'm looking forward to next time.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.